everybody seems to be ready. Are you ready?
For the next band.
We're sorry for the delay. Is everybody ready?
Well, I've done the biggest one to visit the all sorts of other places in America.
Come on, kids!
Heroes, the Rolling Stones have been touring for 50 years with some of the most profound shows and tours ever produced. And with their 50 and counting tour, the band are keen to keep rolling on. To celebrate the band's 50-year run and upcoming Hyde Park shows, we have made this documentary, Rolling Stones Live at 50, exploring the band's most notorious shows and tours dating back 50 years ago when the group first started out as a little-known band covering blues songs in small clubs. Here's Mick Jagger, the lead vocalist of the Rolling Stones.
There were like these tiny little girls that were getting them to scream, and you couldn't hear anything. I just was mouthing it, hoping it was going to be okay.
Here's Keith Richards, the lead guitarist of the Rolling Stones.
It started, man, on the first tour. Halfway through, things start to get crazy.
Here's Bill Wyman, the former bassist for the Rolling Stones.
The first night was about 80 people. The second night was about 120. And the third night, there were queues outside and they couldn't get in.
Here's Charlie Watts, the drummer for the Rolling Stones.
The rise to popularity in London, well, the rise to popularity in the world was very short.
When you saw those crowds growing every week, you knew that you were striking a bell somewhere and that something was happening.
In 1964, the band became part of the British invasion in America with their first US TV performance on The Ed Sullivan Show.
Here's the first appearance of the Rolling Stones.
Time is on my side.
Yes, it is.
Time is on my side.
Yes, it is.
The group's international popularity and rebellious reputation led them to tour the globe throughout the 60s as one of the most dominant rock groups around. The band went on a live hiatus in the late 60s, but in 1968 they returned to the stage with a TV concert, Rock and Roll Circus. A gig that was a mix of rock performances and circus acts, all under a big top roof. It was an idea that didn't work in their favour by being upstaged by their guests, The Who, making the show shelved. The concert is noted for being the final performance with founding member Brian Jones. The Stones returned to the public stage on July 1969 at Hyde Park, that became one of the biggest and most memorable concerts of all time. The band organised a free concert in Hyde Park, which was attended by 500,000 and was hyped as the event of the summer, but overall felt more like a memorial concert to founding member Brian Jones, who had died just 2 days before the concert.
And Hyde Park was the funeral. And the bit about burying and the shovels and all of that, it's not that important to me. That was his funeral.
The concert had become in his memory, when it obviously hadn't been planned like that, but it had assumed that feeling.
In memory to Jones, before the concert, hundreds of butterflies were released, and Jagger read a short poem.
She tried to take me upstairs.
gig was the live debut of many new songs and Mick Taylor, Jones' replacement. It was considered one of the most memorable concerts in history, despite not being the band's best performance. However, it is still cited as the band's most famous performance and is scheduled to return to the park for the last date of their current tour, which is a must-see. The Hyde Park concert was hailed by many as a success, inspiring the Stones to perform another free show in Altamont, California later that year. However, it was the opposite of what was expected. Here's Mick Taylor, former guitarist of the Rolling Stones.
Well, somebody must have put it to somebody in the Stones organisation that we went to Altamont to do a free concert.
Attended by 250,000 people, Altamont was to be a joyous end to the 60s, but ended up being the gig from hell. The whole event started badly, with Jagger being punched within a minute of leaving his helicopter, and fights occurring hours before the concert began. The motorcycle gang, the Hell's Angels, were the security for the gig. However, a violent atmosphere was in the air.
The Hell's Angels were the people doing the security. So, you know, thought, well, that's the way they do things in San Francisco. You know, it was a very hippy-dippy thing.
Except these were actual proper Hell's Angels.
When I got a bad vibe about it, when I saw the condition of the Angels. Now, I can tell these guys are on acid and Ripple wine. And they're already in the early afternoon. They're starting to get antsy. These guys are out there just looking for trouble. This is going to get ugly tonight. And it did.
The whole thing was out of control. I mean, all normality and control had gone. There was no... nothing. We were scared. I mean, it was scary. And these people were crazy. And they were, like, standing next to you, and we didn't know how to control it, stop it. It was completely out of our control. It was just a nightmare.
Everybody was fucking scared.
Stop it. Hey people, everybody just cool out.
What we should have done is just closed shop and gone home. But you couldn't. You got 300,000 people out there that have come, you know.
It was just realizing that you were out of control. The whole thing was out of control. If you're in any kind of arena or theatre, you can just leave, you know, off stage. There wasn't... You were very aware that you were sort of surrounded, so you were very vulnerable. So that was a feeling. That's why you shouldn't have been in this situation.
Sam, we need an ambulance.
And then some person gets killed.
What happened?
Pulled out a gun.
He did?
Yes, the Hell's Angels took the gun away from him. One of them has it now, he showed it to me. And they proceeded to put him down on the ground and start kicking him. And he has a couple stab wounds in his back and one over his ear. Tried to keep him alive, and when we got here, the doctor checked him out. And that was
pronounced him dead in the This is Stefan Ponick, KSAN Radio, San Francisco. While the Rolling Stones' tour of the United States is over, they wound it up with a free concert at the Altamont Speedway for more than 300,000 people. There were four births, four deaths, and an awful lot of scuffles reported. We received word that someone was stabbed to death in front of the stage by a member of the Hell's Angels. Nothing's confirmed on that. We were there, we didn't see it, but we did see a lot.
Tours of the 1970s became rocky when countless drug charges were made towards Keith Richards.
Lead guitarist Keith Richard was charged with possession of heroin for the purpose of trafficking. If convicted, he faces a maximum sentence of life for trafficking.
It was a realization that I was actually jeopardizing the band, you know. I mean, if they were going to put me away, I mean, it was bye-bye. That's why I stopped. That's it, the experiment is now, we're pulling the plug on this once and for all. It was end of chapter there, and turn the page.
1975, Mick Taylor left the band, and the future of the band looked cloudy. Luckily, Ronnie Wood was found as a replacement and helped the band through the 70s. Here's Ronnie Wood, a guitarist for the Rolling Stones.
It's in the blood, you see. It all comes down to those 2 hours on stage. They're the reward.
The group survived the 1970s with just minor charges and seemed to be ready to dominate the 80s. However, rifts began to occur in the group, which led to their absence of touring in most of the 80s. The band rumoured to have broken up, but a surprising return in 1989, where they embarked on their largest tour at the time, with Steel Wheels Tour.
100,000 fans watched Mick Jagger prance and dance as he has for nearly 20 years.
They are starting a tour which will take them to 21 cities to be seen by 1.5 million adoring fans.
The anti-heroes of the 60s are back on the road for their biggest tour.
It becomes more than just a tour, it becomes a grand event. You're not the only one with mixed emotions.
You're not the only ship that could count this ocean. Steel Wheels Tour was a huge success and was followed by other huge stadium tours with Voodoo Lounge Tour and Bridges of Babylon Tour. In 2006, they set out on their biggest tour ever, A Bigger Bang, which eventually became the second highest grossing tour of all time. During the tour, the band took the world stage by performing at the Super Bowl halftime show, which was broadcast worldwide.
The National Football League presents the Sprint Super Bowl 40 Halftime Show. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rolling Stones.
This one we conduct Super Bowl 1, you know. And it comes to here, who waits?
I knew it was, you know, America's biggest event.
The band conquered the world yet again with a Bigger Bang tour across the globe. The tour was met with rave reviews, quoting the Stones as a band you have to see before you die. I talked to an attendee of the tour to find out the experience of seeing the Stones live and what's expected. So you've seen the Rolling Stones live. When and where did you see them?
I saw them in Twickenham Stadium 2006 on the Bigger Bang tour.
How did you find the experience?
I wasn't actually looking forward to it at first. I wasn't a big Stones fan at that time. And then I was totally blown away within an hour. They just became my favourite band of all time. Jagger's presence, I think it's something you have to see at least once in your life. I think it was just fantastic and I can't wait to see him again.
And finally, would you recommend the up-and-coming tour to a friend, even at the current ticket prices?
Absolutely. This is just a once-in-a-lifetime gig. It's just, nothing beats a Stones, man. They're just the greatest rock and roll band out there. That's what they've been saying for 50 years.
Having heard this, it seems seeing the Stones is a thrilling and exciting experience. Something a lot of people got to see when the Stones prepared to play the largest concert ever for free in Copacabana, Brazil.
See, the people in a crowd, they become one thing. It's almost like an amoeba. You know, you're just part of it. And I think one of the important things about coming to shows like that and wanting to do that is to actually just lose yourself for a couple of hours. You've got very little say in whether you're going to turn right, left, forward, back, because you're just part of this thing.
Right, to be honest, it feels like the audience is sort of running the show and they're so happy. And I mean, they're making this sort of atmosphere. You're sort of surfing the wave, really.
You can get carried away, like, what song am I playing? Because you say, whoa, look at this. That's the show.
Their show on Copacabana Beach was the largest concert of all time, with a reported 2 million people attending, and another milestone for the Stones. With 50 years approaching, the band have announced what many believe to be their final tour, 50 and counting. Despite the title suggesting that there is more to come, you should still never miss a chance to miss this band, as it is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. The 50 and counting tour has shows going west to east throughout America, with three UK shows, including the highly anticipated return to Hyde Park. Controversy has built over ticket prices, ranging as high as £1,300, quite a change from 20p 50 years ago. This matter hasn't upset the Stones though, as the prices range from high enough for long-time rich fans to afford and cheap enough for young fans to afford. Years hasn't seemed to stop the Stones rolling out on the road though, but could this be the last time? If it is, don't miss the chance to see the greatest rock and roll band live on stage at Hyde Park on the 6th and 13th of July, and I'm pretty sure we've convinced you. I'm Joe Young, and thank you for listening to Rolling Stones Live. 50.
I mean, I'd like to say, oh, yeah, this is very much hard work, and how do you keep this up, and how do you do it? Hey, it ain't that hard if you love it. It ain't.